Today we are going to study the book of James, chapter 2. Please read. Let's read the first verse.
My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of glory, with respect to persons.
We believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you say our God, I'm talking about Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the creator of faith. If you read, we already studied that book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 2, it says. What it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. That means your faith and my faith came from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the author or creator of your and my faith. Amen. And the word of God says how faith comes. Book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So now the word of God is trying to teach us in the book of James, if you are a believer, that means automatically you have the faith of Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? He said, the Lord of glory. Our God is a glorious, He is the Lord of all, and He is the creator of you and me, and He is the creator of your faith and my faith. And then He says, that God gives you everything. When you ask anything to Him, He doesn't say, when you ask me $100, let me give you $99.99. We read it in the last chapter, means first chapter of James, chapter 1, verse 17. What did we read? Let's go back and check it one more time. Please read.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Amen. So what the word of God is saying, every good gift or every perfect gift comes from above, means comes from God.
Amen.
When He gives you something, He doesn't wavery minded give little bit to him, little bit to them. Everyone who asks, He gives liberally.
That's right. Amen.
Every gift is perfect.
Yes.
From God.
Amen.
If God heals you, He heals you perfect.
Amen.
Yesterday we were doing the radio program, if you are listening. And we were studying from book of Matthew chapter 8, book of Mark chapter 1, and book of Luke chapter 5. The story is given in all these three books. We were studying about the leper. This man had leprosy, and Luke said he was full of leprosy. That means there was not a single spot in his body, there was no leprosy. And this man, when he saw Jesus Christ, he fell on his face, he worshipped him, and he said, Lord, if it is your will to heal me, please heal me.
Amen.
What Jesus did, according to the Jewish law, you should not be touching that man. That man called unclean. That disease was called unclean disease. But Jesus Christ, the word of God says, with the compassion, touched him and says, I want to heal you.
Amen.
Be healed. And what happened? If you read all of the three books, it says immediately.
That's right.
The man got completely
Amen.
Healed.
Amen. That's right.
No leprosy at all. Why I'm saying this? Because when God does something, He does perfect.
Amen.
So he says he gives everything or everyone who asks perfectly. There is no partiality in the eyes of God.
Right.
He will not say, okay, I'm going to give faith to America, but I will not give faith to India or China or Japan or Muslim country or Pakistan.
True.
If believer lives in any country, anywhere in the world, He gives everyone the same way.
Amen.
There is no partiality in the eyes of God. The ladies And gentlemen, boys and girls, they receive everything equally. So God has given us faith in a measure of faith, means everyone has it. You can increase it if you want to, but once you ask, anyone ask, he says he will give liberally. Even the James chapter 1 verse 5 or 6 we read, if you are lacking knowledge or wisdom and you need it from the Lord, and he say you ask, and how shall he give it to you? He will give you liberally. He will not say, okay, you ask me wisdom, I give a little bit today, and tomorrow I'll give a little bit, and then slowly, slowly you will have perfect wisdom. He doesn't do that. If you ask him, he will give it to you. Now that's why this is the foundation James is laying for the second chapter, verse 1. He's trying to say, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He has given you faith. He has given you everything what you need. Then what you do? If you are a child of God, and if God treats you, everyone, equally, what you will do? You will do the same. Okay, let's read that verse 2 now.
My brethren, first there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?
He's giving an example. First of all, James proved it to you and me, God is not partial. He gives you everything liberally.
That's right.
He doesn't have anyone low or high. And then he says, if that kind of believer you are, and if somebody comes to you, maybe in your church, your house, your community, anywhere. If somebody comes, now in this says, somebody has a golden ring. They're saying poor people actually do not have any jewelries. So if you have a good clothes, good suit, three-piece suit, and good jewelry, it's nothing wrong. But you should not be partial. If somebody has a well-dressed person, please come and sit on the front. And if somebody doesn't have a cloth, please stay away. Some churches, they have special seat reserved for certain people. Do you know that? In our church, there is no special seat. You can come and sit on the front. I will not tell you go in the back. And if you stay in the back, I would not tell you please come and sit in the front. Why? Because we have freedom.
Amen.
Sit anywhere you want and enjoy the Lord. So here the word of God is saying, but you are partial. What the Bible says? Bible says when you're giving with the right hand, left hand should not know.
Amen.
If you're giving to God secretly, God will bless you openly. God knows your heart. But some churches, when you give more money, that person will be treasurer. That person will be a big in their board, church board. But in our church, it's not like that. If you can give $1 million and somebody gives me $1, everybody is equal.
Amen.
That's what the word of God is teaching. He says somebody's wearing gay clothing. Now, this was written for maybe some years ago. And somebody says, what do you mean gay clothing? I don't have a gay clothing. But today's society, there are gay clothing and gay people. Gay clothing means a good clothing, beautiful looking clothing.
Yes, that's right.
But according to the Bible, we are not talking about the gay people today's. We're talking about the good clothing. If somebody's wearing beautiful clothes, we don't have to say anything bad. Other day I heard, one lady said, we go to church And what they do while they're going to church, they have lots of jewelry. So they put a shawl top of the jewelry so nobody can see on the street. Otherwise they will snatch their neck, take their jewelry. And when they go to church, they open the shawl and show all the jewelry, maybe 4 or 5 rings in this hand and 4 or 5 rings in this hand and jewelry and things like that and beautiful car. They will not wash their car for 7 days, but the Sunday comes, polish the car so much. So people are looking, look at my beautiful car and look at my jewelry and all of these things. We are not going to church to show your jewelry and show your wealth. God knows everything what you have.
Yes.
We are not going to impress somebody.
True.
There was a man, he bought a beautiful golden ring, maybe diamond ring worth millions of dollars, and nobody even pay attention to his jewelry. So somebody suggested him, why don't you have a party? Invite all the people in your party. And then when you giving them food or they eating, and then you show that, do you like this? How does this taste? And how does this taste? And show your finger to everybody. They will know it. And so this man did all of these things and start showing everybody. Nobody says anything, but there was some wise man sitting there. He says, you showing that ring to so many people, how much it costs you? Then he said, if you would have asked me before, I would not have this party. I got so much money spending for this party to show my ring, and only one person recognized that I have the ring. So what I'm trying to say, there are people who are crazy enough to show themselves to somebody that somebody should say, what you have? Did you see somebody piercing their tongue, piercing their noses, piercing everywhere, some of the secret parts of their body they're piercing? Why are they doing this? One lady said, do you know when I pierce my tongue, I have to wash my tongue with a mouthwash every 30 minutes. If I don't do it, I get infection. So can you imagine people are doing these things? But why are these people doing it? They are doing it to show somebody they have something that we don't have it. That's what the Word of God says. Ignore those people. If they come to church, don't pay attention what they have. I'm not saying go to church with the ugly clothes. Go to church with the best you have. Don't keep it best for somebody else. Whatever you have, use it for the glory of God. So here the Word of God says, you are partial. And they say, God is not partial. If God is not partial and you are partial, what does it mean? You are guilty. You are doing something wrong. You are a child of God. If your God loves everyone and you are his child, you should love everyone. Because you have the nature of God. When you are not born again, what you have? You have the nature of devil. John chapter 8. Please read. John chapter 8, verse 44 onwards. John 8, 44.
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father within you. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it.
The devil is a liar and the father of all lies. He is a murderer, he is a killer.
Right.
And he says, you are from that devil.
Amen.
That means when Adam lost his right to the devil, how did he do it? When God says, the day you will eat this fruit, you will surely die. God kept him in the garden to watch out. Not a single enemy should come and enter into that garden. He allowed that enemy to come in, and he listened to the enemy, and he ate the fruit. So what happened? He lost his authority over that garden. So he was kicked out of the garden. People say God is so love and God is so good. And there are people believe in eternal security. They say once you are born again, you can do anything. God still loves you. Why God did not allow Adam to stay in the garden?
Amen.
God is love. He kicked him out.
Yeah, sure.
The word of God is saying, the people who are not born again, they are the children of devil. John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, but as many as received him,
Amen.
To whom? Jesus.
Amen.
To them he gives authority,
yes.
to be called the children of God,
Amen.
Or the sons of God.
Amen.
That means once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who are you? You are a child of God.
Amen.
If you are a child of God, then you will have the nature of God. And the nature of God is what? God is love. God is not partial. So if you are a child of God, you will love everyone. Love everyone in the world.
Amen.
Somebody says, how about my enemy? Love your enemies also and pray for them. That's what God teaches us. We are the children of God. That's what the word of God says. James chapter 2 verse 4. Please read. James 2:4.
Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of the evil?
So, you are partial yourself and what? Judge of evil things. That means your thoughts are evil. And that's why you have partiality. The God of this world is using your brain for his glory, means the devil's glory. Then you will do something wrong. Don't allow devil to rule your head. The word of God says when you are born again, Jesus Christ is our head. We have the mind of Christ.
That's right.
We have the wisdom of God. Once you are born again, child of God, he gives you power and he gives you his wisdom. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. So we have the wisdom of God. We should not be partially judging other people.
Amen.
Verse 5, James 2:5.
Hearken, my beloved brethren, that my God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him.
Promise to them that love him. That's important. Because some people will take this scripture and say, God loves only poor people. He doesn't love rich people. God loves everyone. But the word of God says, the message of gospel was preached to the poor. He says, go and preach the gospel to poor. So some people got so mixed up. And they start saying, if you're preaching the gospel to poor, then we have to be poor. And some countries, the pastors, they wear poor clothes, means torn down clothes, raggedy clothes without iron and things like that, and they go and preach the gospel. Something wrong with it? No, if you don't have it, it's nothing wrong. But if you are a child of God, Psalm 23 verse 1, what he says? You will not have anything lacking. Why? Because God becomes your shepherd.
Amen.
And he supplies all your needs.
Amen.
If I am going to preach the gospel to poor with a raggedy cloth to win the raggedy dressed person, sounds good. But if I tell him God is going to bless you, God is going to supply all your needs, what the man is going to say? Sir, he did not supply your need. You have a problem. You don't have a cloth. You're not going to say, oh, I was wearing this raggedy cloth just to win you. So then you are a hypocrite. You're keeping a good cloth in your house. So you go to the poor man's house and he doesn't have a chair and you have to sit on the dirty clothes. So say, I'm not going to take my suit today because I have to sit in his dirty carpet. That is a partial. You cannot win that soul. And if that person doesn't have any good clothes, take your jacket, give it to him. Take your shirt and give it to him. That's what I do when I go to India. I take all the shirts and pants and as many as cloth I can take it. And then I start giving to people. And we had a baptism service. We gave all the undershirts and shirts and we had a baptism service and we finish everything. And then one man says, I want to take it. And I had only one shirt. Now, everything I gave that shirt to him. And I put the towel over me and sat in the taxi and came home. I gave everything. What I'm trying to say, when you're going to the poor people's house, you are not showing them you are poor and they are poor. The Word of God says Jesus Christ became poor for you.
Amen.
With His poverty, you can be rich.
Amen.
Why are we preaching the gospel to poor people? To not to make them poor, to make them rich.
Amen.
Spiritually, physically, socially, emotionally, financially.
Yes.
Every way that person has to be rich. When I went to India one time, my dad told me, son, when Billy Graham's, Wal Roberts, all those people comes, they go to the big, big stadium. But there are poor people in the villages, in the very bad neighborhood. They never go to them. And these people even do not have money to take a bus to go to the big stadium. Will you be able to go and preach to those people? Because he thought, now I'm coming from America, I have the money, I have good clothes. See what I'm going to do. I said, Dad, take me anywhere.
Amen.
I'll go. When he was taking me there, I had my children with me, my wife, and I took the shoes off, I took my socks off, pant rolled my pants, and we all walk in the muddy and the dirty roads. And I went there, and when I saw the group of people, they were the cows and buffalo grazing in the same ground, and these people have their tents. And the tents were made out of very thin cloth, like a sari cloth or some bed sheets. The tent was made. And I was so surprised. I said, sir, if the rain comes, this bed sheet will not hold the rain. What you do? They say, we packed everything and then we run to the what you call railway station or some building, somewhere shed, and we survive. I felt so bad. But I didn't have the money to build the houses for all these people. So I told them, Jesus Christ became poor for you. With His poverty, you will be rich.
Amen.
But you have to give your heart to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God is going to supply all of your needs.
Amen.
I rent the taxis. After I preached, took those people to the where the water was, and everybody were baptized. And when I came back here, I got a letter from my dad. He said, all of those people you baptized, all of them have houses today. And not only that, the one of the person who was high school graduate in that group, he became the leader of those people.
Amen.
1 year later, I got a letter from the man. He said, Pastor Peter, you baptized me and you gave me some authority to preach. Today, I'm in my hometown and I'm building the church for the glory of God.
Amen.
Could you please send me a bicycle or money for the bicycle so I can go and preach? So what I'm trying to say, all of those people came to salvation and God supply they need. You tell them, God doesn't want you to be poor, but you be spiritually rich first.
Amen.
And then God will supply your needs.
Amen.
As your spiritual standard grows, your money will come to you. How it comes? Just think that you did not have anything to give. And you got a job. And you made $100. What $10 is belong to Jesus, belong to God. You give $10 to God and say, Lord, I have so many bills to pay. This $10 is not going to be enough to pay my bills, but I'm going to give my first fruits. Give it to the Lord. I guarantee you, another month, maybe have $20 a week. And another month, you may have $200 a week. And another month, you may have $1,000 a week to give it to God.
Amen.
People do. I have seen the people giving a dollar. They might be giving a $50 or $100 or more today. Some people, I'm talking about our church. Some people are not giving 10%, maybe give 20%. God is supplying their needs. Do I go and ask everybody, hey, you did not give your tithe last month, why don't you give it to you? I never ask anybody. But people are giving. They never gave it to God, but they are giving today. That's why we are able to do many things. We have foreign missions. We have churches in India. We have started a church in Trinidad. And we are planning to start some churches in America, some other places. We have radio program, we have the satellite program, and we are reaching out to do many other programs. How can we do it? Because of God's people, when they give it to God, we use it for the God's glory. We had 7 days a week radio program. We had a 15-passenger brand new van. We had a 55-passenger school bus. That also we got it for free. I announced in the radio, I said, we need a 55, I didn't say 55, I said, we need a school bus. If somebody has it, please call and we'll pick it up. And I was ready to pay something. But while I was going, I said, I had some drivers and mechanic with me. I said, let's pray that God should give it to us free. We went there, those people came with all the papers and everything. And I said, how much you want? Said, God told me to give it to you free. Then what we were doing? Whatever we were getting, we were spending every day. So we didn't have bank balance. We didn't have the building. So I'm walking on the street looking for a building. And somehow, it's a big story, but I got a place. And I asked that man, can you give it to me? He said, I never give it to anybody. I'll give it to you. $850. I said, it's too much. He said, if it is too much, then you cannot have it. You cannot have it. I said, okay, no problem. I said, I'll have it. Not only $850, I start giving him more because we had more services.
Yeah.
We had service Sunday, we had service Tuesday, we had service Wednesday, we had service Thursday. And each time I start giving more. But the man was not satisfied. He started giving our church, means what the building we were using, for disco dancing and idol worshiping. And I come and all the chairs are scattered, my podium is thrown out. I said, sir, what's happening? He said, well, we are giving to the disco people and those young people, you know, they do dance here. I simply said to him, give me some time. And that's the way we got this building and we are here. So we lost lots of members. And some of good members says, oh, you don't have any facilities for our children, so we want to go to big, big churches. So I said, go. So point I'm making here, we had everything for the glory of God. What we had, we use it for the glory of God.
Amen.
We did not become poor. Why? Because we spend everything for glory of God. So the Word of God is saying, our motive is bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Whatever it costs, radio, television, we did television, we did everything to bring the people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And once they are poor, I tell them, you don't have any money, give it to the Lord and see what happens. Dollar, $10, $20, $100. One man came and he called me one day and he gave me $900. Why don't you bring it to church? He said, I spend money. I cannot have it. So before Sunday comes, money will go. I said, how this money came? He said, I got a bonus. And so I'm giving my tithe. So if you give $900 tithe, so you figured it out how much bonus you got. What I'm trying to say, those people, that's the person who gave me $900 in an offering. That's the same person was standing in my church door like this after the service. long hair. I hugged him and I said, "Sir, what can I do for you?" He said, "I don't have a job. Please pray for me." I prayed, he got a job. He cut hair, three-piece suit, bought a guitar, started playing guitar in the church. So what I'm trying to say, he started giving his tithes and offerings and God supplied all of his needs. One person came from another state. First time he gave $20 tithe. The next time he gives $30 tithe. Then he gives $50 tithe. Then he gives $70 tithe. Can I stop it here? But what I'm trying to say, why this man is doing it? Because God has blessed him.
Amen.
People who didn't give $20, they can give $200 a week. Amen. Our God is a good God. The word of God is saying, God loves them, not the poor or rich. He loves everyone. He says, let's read that verse 5 one more time. James chapter 2 verse 5.
Hearken, my beloved brethren, that my God has chosen this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love
him. Which he has promised to them that love him. That means, if you are rich, and if you love Jesus Christ, and give your heart to Jesus Christ, and give your money to the Lord, he will supply your needs.
Amen.
They were rich people like a John Wanamaker. If you don't know his story, he started giving tithe, you know, 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%, 90%. And he kept 10% for himself. And there are other people. I heard about J.C. Penney did the same, and there are so many other people. That's why the Christianity reached to Pakistan, India, Africa, and other places. Because all this money they were giving to the churches, and the churches started pouring money to the foreign mission, and many people got saved. And this is the way the Christianity reached all over the world. Today people are saying, "Oh, don't talk about money." We are not begging, we are making you rich.
Amen.
St. Paul says, "I became poor, but I made you rich."
Amen.
Some people say, "How come?" I'll tell you. Other day, I had $700 or $800. I gave $500 to one person. I gave $100 to three people. How much money I got? I lost everything. Means everything what I had, I gave. I made somebody rich. Says that's what St. Paul says. I made so many people rich and I became poor. That particular day, I was poor. I didn't have anything. No dollar bill. Only few pennies or few cents. Says if you love the Lord, then you will not love your money. You will love God and you give everything to God. Whatever I have is belong to God. I had a beautiful car. I got the Noah, beautiful car. And I loved that car. And I kept that car perfect shape. And somebody didn't have the car, so they said, "I don't have a car." I said, "Use mine. But when you have it, give it back to me." And somebody used it, gave it back to me. Then I gave it to another person who didn't have. And he ruined the car, made a hole in the bottom, broke my handle. And gave it to me. I said, "No problem." I took that car, went and spent $3,000 and fixed the car, painted, made it beautiful and kept it. And one day, one family came from Large Street walking in the sunny, hot sunny day, red faces, and my wife went and said, "Did you walk?" I said, "Yes." "Don't you have a car?" "No." "Why didn't you take bus?" "We didn't have the money. We walked." My wife comes to me and says, "You know, these poor people do not have a car. Can we give our car?" I said, "Sure." So, I loved that car, but I gave it away. Not only that, when I gave the car, these people do not have even the money to,
transfer.
To make the transfer of the car. I paid the money. Now I paid the money, gave everything, now I gave it to them. Now they didn't have money to put the tag on. I gave the money for that and I filled the gasoline and everything perfect in their hand. After that they came 2 weeks to church, took the car, disappeared. Did I become poor? No. God gave me a beautiful car after that. It cost us like a $45,000. And I had the car after that $8,000 car I bought. I used that $8,000 car for 8 years. After that I went to trade it to buy this $45,000 car. That man said, I will give $8,000 for your car. Trade it. So I trade the car, I got $8,000 for my car. And then they had the rebate on the top of that. I got at least $15,000 to $20,000 and I got a beautiful car. What I'm trying to say, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I never thought in my heart, why did I give the car to those people? They were not even honest. No problem. I did it, and when I gave the car, at the same time I said, I'm not giving the car because you are coming to church. You can go to any church, you can leave the town, go anywhere. If you love the Lord, then God will take care of us. Okay, let's go. Let's read verse 6.
When ye have despised the poor, do not rich men oppress you and throw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well.
How the rich people treat you, and how the poor people treat you, and still knowing that when some rich person comes, you forget what they do and you go to show them kindness, and the poor people have a need, ignore them. You know what people do? Christmas comes, you give gift to whom? You give gift to your boss to get a raise or something. Or give gift to your big rich relatives. You know what I do? I don't write any card to anybody in a Christmas time. The Word of God says, do not invite the person who will invite you back to their house to dinner. I do not invite anybody to dinner. Except that's why Pastor Peter is not inviting us. No. What I'm trying to say, invite somebody who cannot invite you back. Give it to somebody. We give it to the poor people.
Amen.
The person who doesn't have anything.
Amen. Thank you.
Those are the people we give.
Thank you.
If somebody has a hole in their ceiling, water dripping, or their water bill they cannot pay, or gas bill is not paid, or some problem they have, we go and help them. Not to rich people sending some money and some gift to somebody and spending money. The Word of God is saying, you are doing this because you are partial and you do not know the golden rule. What rule he says? Verse 8. Please read the verse 8.
Fulfill the royal law according to the scripture.
Fulfill the golden rule or the golden scriptures. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18. Please read. Leviticus 19:18. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
So this is the rule, he says. This is written in the Leviticus. And he says, and just read in Deuteronomy.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and all thy soul, and with all thy
mind. Okay, now these are the two golden rules.
Yes.
God gave it to the mankind in the Old Testament. And one man comes to Jesus and says, which is the first commandment? Please tell me. Go to the book of Mark chapter 12 verse 28 to 31. But Jesus Christ is saying, this is the one God wants. That love the Lord, love your neighbors.
Amen.
If you love God and hate your neighbors, you are not a good Christian.
Amen.
You say, I love the Lord, but I hate that person comes in and sits in the church, you know, he stinks. You don't love the Lord, that means.
That's right. Amen.
If you love the Lord, you will love your neighbor.
Amen.
You remember when somebody says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave the example who his neighbor was. The neighbor was who is in need, who has a problem. James chapter 2, verse 9 onwards.
But if we have respect to person who commits sin, and are convinced of the laws of transgressors.
See, now here he's saying, why the person is committing sin when he respects one and doesn't respect other? Because the golden rule. But God has set the rule, you break that rule, you're committing sin. That's what it is. Okay, go ahead.
For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he will keep the whole law.
So what he's trying to say? He said, if you obeying the law, you obey the law perfect. Don't say I have 10 commandments, I obey 9. Not the in Sabbath day, don't travel or things like that. I'm giving a simple commandment which is God's commandments.
Amen.
The man says, which is the first and good commandments? Then he told the man, go and read the Deuteronomy. And then he says about the neighbor, go and read the book of Leviticus.